Hello, and welcome to today's podcast called Parkinson's Disease, Gaining Hope and Help, the show that is here to help disseminate information to the masses about people's journey with PD, resources for those with Parkinson's disease, and information for professionals specifically focusing on occupational therapy. As occupational therapists, we can understand the disease more to better assist our clients. I'm your host, Chloe, and as last episode I talked about, I'm a fourth-year occupational therapy student working on a project that involves getting more resources out in the world for OTs working with Parkinson's disease, as well as for those that deal with Parkinson's disease day in and day out. In today's episode, we're joined here by Sue, and we're going to discuss her passion for working with people with Parkinson's disease, as well as the program that she has developed at her own business, Crush PD Fitness. So hi, Sue. I'll let you introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Sue Ludwig, and I'm the owner of Crush PD Fitness in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Awesome. So I'll just ask you where you would like to get started in speaking about your journey working with people with Parkinson's.
Okay, so we're going to go back, way back, 40 years. my grandmother was diagnosed with Parkinson's in her early 40s. And she was told to go home and rest. And as you can imagine, with what we know about Parkinson's now, that really leads to some terrible outcomes. Mm-hmm. And she sadly passed away in 99. So after she passed away, it would be another 10 years or so until I discovered what, you know, I feel like I was put on this earth to do, which is work with people with Parkinson's. So, you know, fast forward, I'm the fitness coordinator at a big gym. And I had a client come in with Parkinson's disease. And when I started working with him, it was so amazing. And his physical therapist reached out to me and said, there's more you can do. You should go out and learn more about this PWR program, which is Parkinson's Wellness Recovery. So I went out to Colorado and took the program. And oh my goodness, it changed not only my life, but like all of my clients that my future clients who I didn't know at the time. But really when I went out there, you know, I had no expectations for what this program was going to be. I just thought it was going to kind of be another, you know, certification I would add to what I was already doing. But once I started doing it, I realized how impactful exercise really was in people with Parkinson's lives and how it could really help them avoid what my grandmother's fate was.
Absolutely. I think that kind of speaks volumes, you know, like you said, you know, just going home and sitting down and not doing anything because you have this diagnosis is far from what we see you should be doing. And it's kind of scary that that was only, you know, 20 so years ago. And that's was still what was being told to people.
So yeah, it's really scary that that is what was being told. And even to this day, the people that are getting the encouragement to exercise from their doctors, you know, it's not nearly the percentage it should be. I mean, this should be 100% when you get diagnosed with Parkinson's. The only thing known to slow down the progression of the disease is the exercise. So it should be a no-brainer that that's the first recommendation for each person when they come through and get a diagnosis.
Absolutely. So I guess with that, how have you created your program at Crush PD Fitness to revolve around exercise and help these people with Parkinson's?
So we started with just the PWR program, and then we built from there, adding Delay the Disease and adding Rock Steady Boxing. And then really just through the experience of working with people, we really started to see what works. And it's really not one of those things. It's really a combination of all of them. I feel like every person is a bit of a puzzle, and we need to figure out how those exercise pieces need to come together to complete that puzzle. So when we look at a person, we're looking at them as a unique individual with their own manifestation of their Parkinson's. And how can we help them based on what we're seeing their needs are?
Absolutely. So with that being said, would you see it to be more of a group program, or would you see it to be individualized, or would you say it to be a little bit of both?
Okay, so people come to me and they ask, oh, can I just see you one-on-one? And sure enough, you can. But the experience of being in a class is unique, and it's like nothing else. And to walk into a classroom where there's 20 other people with Parkinson's And all of a sudden, you're not special because you have Parkinson's, which is a wonderful thing. I think a lot of people don't want to feel different or special in that kind of group, that they're just one of the guys or one of the girls in the class. And they really kind of appreciate that feeling, that being part of something where everybody is the same. There's no question what's going on. So if they were, you know, going to a regular gym and trying to take a normal fitness class, they may stumble or fall or, you know, freeze up. And that would raise questions. And people were like, what's going on with that person? When they come in, everybody knows and they're supportive and they cheer each other on.
Absolutely. And just as my time, you know, being there, you know, just a little bit, I could see, you know, everyone's so inclusive there, and they're just willing to throw you in. And, you know, they understand that every person is at a different level. Some people could totally kick my butt and, you know, run circles around me. And I'm a college student. So I think it definitely just shows that, you know, they're willing to accept anyone. If you walk with a walker, that doesn't mean that you can't do anything. And I think that that really speaks volumes for your program as well. And I just enjoy being there. And I can just see how much everyone else enjoys being there. So with that being said, how do you recruit clients? Like, how do they come to you? Do you get referred? Do you have recommendations? How does that work?
Okay, so pre-COVID, it really was referrals from neurologists. And then at support groups, we would be invited to come in and exercise with the people. And then we could say, hey, if you want to come out and check us out, here's a card, you know, stop by. And then COVID happened and it became, you know, we just weren't meeting. It was quite the challenge to get new clients in. Now, you know, support groups are just coming back. So I spoke at one a couple of weeks ago. We've picked up a couple of new clients from there. The neurologists are definitely reaching out and also giving their patients our pamphlets when they are diagnosed, or if they come in for a checkup, they're handing them the pamphlets and encouraging. But that again is, you know, it's just a handful of doctors, but
absolutely,
you know, greatly appreciated. And when they do that, they're really, I mean, we were talking about this today. It's kind of a ripple effect. It's like dropping that stone in the water and watching it ripple outward, because when that doctor hands that person that paper and they take it seriously and they go and exercise, that impacts their spouse, their children, their community around them, how they go forward with the rest of their lives. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's such a bigger, far-reaching thing than just the person who comes in with Parkinson's.
Absolutely. And if I'm not mistaken, you let spouses or caregivers or whatever come in with the individual. Am I correct?
Yeah. So we encourage them to come in, not only to support the person they're with, but who needs more care than the caregiver? And, you know, sometimes they don't have time to get out and exercise or take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are just as important, if not more, because if something happens to that caregiver, who's going to take care of the person with Parkinson's? It's depending on what stage of Parkinson's you're looking at, mm-hmm. that could, you know, really defining of their rest of their life. If their caregiver were to fall and get hurt and not be able to take care of them, for some of them, that would mean that they would be placed in a nursing home or a, you know, a care facility. And really, that's our goal, to keep everybody at home and moving well or living the way they want to, whatever that is.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that just from some of the experience I see, the caregivers seeing, you know, their loved one, you know, doing these activities and things that they would have never thought that they would have been able to do, that just gives them the hope and them the, you know, just utter joy of seeing their loved one and their, you know, spouse, et cetera, like enjoying themselves. And, you know, even if they, you know, didn't do very well at that one thing, you know, just seeing them smile because they got up out of the chair faster than they thought they could is amazing to me.
Yeah. It's like those small accomplishments are just, I mean, it warms your heart.
Absolutely. I don't think you can walk into your gym and be sad, honestly.
No, definitely a place where people come and there is this, like, I want it to be this place, like, that's like a beacon of hope and positivity. Mm-hmm. You know, so you go to some support groups or you go and talk about Parkinson's, and there tends to be sometimes this dark cloud around it. I don't want it to be that. I want them to know that we are the place where the magic happens.
Right.
Like, here you go. when we get people in, sometimes, you know, these guys will come in, and especially one that I'm thinking of, he was a state wrestling champion back in the day. And, you know, his wife was just, you could tell she's exhausted. She's caring for him. He's hard. He's hard mm-hmm. to work with. And I remember early on, we got him to do push-ups. And it was just like the way she looked at him with pride. And, mm-hmm. you know, you could tell he felt proud of himself, and he had done something he hadn't been able to do in years, but he had done the work to get back to being able to do, you know, I think it was like 3 or 4 push-ups. And then eventually, believe it or not, this guy ended up doing a 3-minute plank.
Oh my goodness.
Competition. I mean, how many people do you know without Parkinson's who can plank?
Not me for sure.
Yeah. So he did a 3-minute plank because we were giving away turkeys for Planksgiving, and he won his wife a turkey.
Oh, I love that. I feel like maybe if I had to plank for something in general, I may be able to hit like 1.5 minutes. Maybe.
Right.
So, you know, what are some of the strategies that you've seen that have worked? Like, I know power moves, I know boxing. Have you implemented any of your own strategies that you've kind of thought of?
Yes. So one of the things we did very early on, and before it was even like recommended for Parkinson's, I was taking yoga, and I'm like, all of a sudden, and I really hadn't taken yoga very long. I had gone for like 2 weeks, and the one day I'm in class and I thought, oh my gosh, if people with Parkinson's did this, it would be life changing. So I went on a whim, like literally I had been going to yoga for 2 weeks, and on a whim, I signed up for the teacher training, which I didn't know was somewhere between like Marine boot camp and deep intensive therapy to track out all of your garbage. So I was a little like, oh no, what did I sign up for? I'm going for close to a year.
Right.
But we do yoga for people with Parkinson's, which has since been proven to be one of the most effective things you can do for Parkinson's over boxing, over the dance. You know, yoga is just that full body movement, and it's so therapeutic. And we do forms of yoga in almost every class. They just don't know it. Shh, don't tell.
They'd be like, no, I've never done yoga before in my life.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And some of that is I incorporate the mindfulness and meditation, because when you think about a person with Parkinson's, they're at this heightened state all the time, worried about their environment, their tremors, whether or not they're going to fall. There's a lot going on. So we can get people to just lie down and calm their body and their mind. That might be the only time they really slow down the whole day. So we do a little bit of mindfulness and meditation. I had a whole group down this afternoon on the floor, and they were like, that was the best like 10 minutes of my day. I didn't want to get up.
Yeah, I could imagine. I know the one time I did like restorative yoga with you guys, I was like, I don't think I can move for like the rest of the day. Like, this was just amazing. My body felt completely different afterwards.
It's blissful, right?
It really is. It really is. Honestly.
My goal in the restorative is just for them to fully restore. And, you know, they've earned that after a week of hard work, that time to really take, you know, their body and find stillness and quiet their mind and just relax and enjoy. It's my gift back to them. And we always end with, you know, a little bit of meditation and warm lavender rocks on your forehead. Yeah, it's a happy place.
It is. It really is. Honestly, I would love to live in that place for most of my day. Are there any other success stories that you really enjoy sharing that you want to kind of talk about?
So we have this woman who just joined, and weirdly enough, we were having this conversation this afternoon. She had been misdiagnosed for 10 years.
Oh my gosh.
So not getting the Parkinson's medication. And her daughter happens to work up at Hershey, or works with a company that goes to Hershey Med with the deep brain stimulator. And her daughter was instrumental in getting her correctly diagnosed up at Hershey Med. Mm-hmm. Before she had to leave her job. She's a young woman, and her youngest child is 13.
Oh my goodness.
So a young woman, and her she couldn't sit still, and the dyskinesia was unbelievable. I mean, her body was constantly moving. She, and she would freeze up as if she were bound up by like cellophane. She was really struggling. She got the correct diagnosis, got on the medication, but was still finding those moments of dyskinesia, those moments of freezing up and really struggling. Since she started the program, she experiences almost none of that. And you would never believe that she had Parkinson's, first of all. But right. She also said she was very flexible before, had gotten very rigid before she started the program. Now, if you saw this woman, I mean, there isn't an ounce of rigidity in her body these days. I mean, she is just, her Parkinson's was really out of control, right. Obviously, for being diagnosed that long. And, you know, she said she was being medicated for MS.
Oh my.
Yeah. Just a really, you know, unfortunate situation, but you know, it is what it is. You know, the doctors are always trying their best. I just feel like there was just some sort of lapse. But anyway, yeah, she is thriving. She is probably one of our top performers in class. When people see her, they kind of just stop and are like, holy cow, stay out of her way.
She's moving.
Oh my gosh. She's amazing. Amazing. You wouldn't believe. She's been there with us for about 4 months. You would not believe the woman who walked through the door the first day she came in to the woman she is now. And it's that quick.
Right.
You know, the improvements happen that quickly.
And that's insane to hear, you know, that she went 10 years without any sort of, you know, Parkinson's, anything, you know, medication, like you said, and then, you know, like you said, 4 months, and there has been such a drastic change in her life. And, you know, as an OT student, we would say, you know, quality of life, everything, you know, your occupations, everything that you do has completely changed just because of, you know, appropriate diagnosis. And then through that, you know, getting to your program is insane.
Yeah. I love it. Like every time I watch her, I just think, my gosh, and having a 13-year-old daughter, she's got a long way to go.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. She's not done yet. Oh my goodness. That's insane. And honestly, I think that only helps to motivate other people. You know, she's a young, you know, a young lady, and she has her life to live in front of her. And it's not like, it shows that Parkinson's isn't, you know, just a diagnosis that you just sit down and you know, weep about it and then you're sad. You know, you can do something about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's not about going home and resting, as my grandmother was told. This really is, if you were never an exerciser before, I'm sorry, now's your time. You know, it is. You know, it's 1 hour of your day. That's like, what is that? 2% of your day.
Yeah.
2%. Just put that hour in.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you get to talk to nice people. You get to have fun. I don't think there's ever been a time where I haven't had fun when I've been there. Someone's always joking around, and, you know, they're serious about the workout, but they're also, you know, ready to have a good joke. And especially with me, I'm the young kid, you know, the young college student. They like to play around with that.
Well, they are such a fun group. I can't get over it. Every person we bring into the program just adds another unique personality, and they're all amazing in their own way. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's the Parkinson's that, like, you know, makes them just a little more open and a little more, you know, like they have nothing to lose by being right. Like, but they are just so fun and such a, you know, wonderful group of people. I just thoroughly enjoy each and every one of them.
Absolutely. I think their personalities just like flourish somehow. Like when they walk in, that's just what happens.
Yeah. It may be something that happens in the gym. I feel like there's a little magic surrounding that space.
I think so. I don't know what you're doing there, but it's great. So just kind of say like why you believe that the community resource like you have there is such a beneficial thing for the people with Parkinson's. And like you said, you know, they're on medication. They may be, you know, doing other therapies, but how can your program supplement other things?
So what I like to like describe this as a circle of care. And we're like, if you think of 365 days as this circle in somebody's life with Parkinson's, in those 365 days, they might get to see their neurologist once, maybe twice. Their family doctor is going to be sprinkled in. If they're lucky, their doctor referred them to a physical therapist, an OT, or a speech therapist. Hopefully, fingers crossed, all three. But that usually isn't the case. Usually, it's just a small percentage that see anybody. So that only covers, you know, a handful of days in the year. And what we want to do is provide a space where they can continue to improve. And when they see their neurologist the next year, that they're in a better position than where they started. We always encourage, you know, you see that physical therapist, the occupational therapist, and the speech therapist once a year. Think of it like you wouldn't neglect that oil change in your car.
Absolutely.
Right? You have Parkinson's. It's a progressive neurological disease. Go see your physical therapist, your speech therapist, your occupational therapist. Even if you don't think you need to, get in for that tune-up. There's probably something they can do. And if they tell you, hey, you're good, then they'll send you home and you don't need anything. But it's worth, you know, checking in and having a professional, an expert, see what you need. But we're here to fill in the gap in that time in between so there's no backward sliding. Because I know one of the things I hear from physical therapists and occupational therapists is that they can do so much with them in the time they're allotted, and then they have to let them go, release them, and then backwards they go, and they don't get them back until they're already worse than probably where they started, and they feel like they have to start over from square one. We'd like to avoid that.
Yeah, and I think, I even think back, I got trained in LSVT Big, which is kind of similar to Power Moves, but a little bit different, yeah. But it's a 16-week program. So, you know, you have those 16 weeks and you make, you know, you can make monumental progress in 16 weeks. But then, okay, so I discharge you from my care. And then where do we go from there? You know, I hope that you can continue to progress, and I can hope that you do better and things keep going well. But if you don't have someone there guiding you and you don't really know what to do, you may regress, and that's not what we want to see. And I think that that's, you know, a great opportunity for your program, because, you know, it's there all the time. You can go whenever.
Yeah. And we're accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you, when you release them, they don't have the accountability anymore.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So we're accountability. We're holding them to the fire, you know, making sure that they stay there. And again, I love hearing from the physical therapists and stuff like, oh my gosh, we didn't have to go and like work on the basics. Like we could really get into more advanced stuff, mm-hmm. you know, with the Parkinson's, you know, when you have somebody who has, you know, has not done anything, they might just have to work on the foundations of movement, where if you get somebody, you know, who's moving well and stuff, then they can work on things like if they were struggling to roll over in bed, or maybe, you know, there are real challenges, you know, getting up and down off the floor, then they can focus in on that one thing, mm-hmm. where we've got, you know, some of the other stuff covered.
Absolutely. And, you know, yeah. The continuum of care is great. And, you know, if, like you said, if you don't have to go backwards and you can take your session and go forwards, that's only the more progress that you can gain in a small period of time. And that's wonderful. And that's what we want to see for sure. I guess lastly, I'll just ask, you know, if you have anything else that you'd like to share, or if you have any tips or advice that you have for the listeners, go ahead.
Okay. So the one thing I'm going to say, if somebody is diagnosed with Parkinson's, there is no one correct exercise. So everybody wants to know, what should I do? Like, do what you love. Mm-hmm. Do what you love if that keeps you moving. And then always ask for that help. So you are consider yourself the consumer when you go to the doctor. You need to ask for what you want. And if you go see your neurologist, go ahead and ask for a physical therapy script, even if they didn't write you one, or go ahead and ask for that occupational therapy script or speech therapy. Like you're in charge of keeping your, you know, we were calling it, like a tune-up for a car. You're in charge of your body. Like keep asking for those tune-ups. You know, you have to schedule your oil change, your physical therapy, your speech therapy, your occupational therapy. Let that be part of what you do each time you go in to visit that neurologist on your yearly checkup. So do the exercise, do what you love, what you're going to stick with. And, you know, don't be afraid to ask for help. There's tons of help out there. Lots of resources. Although Parkinson's is an underserved community, I feel like there are a lot of people like Chloe coming up really wanting to help and to dive in and make a big difference. And it's very exciting. We're on the horizons of some really great things with Parkinson's.
Absolutely. So. I think only becoming something that's more seen and more heard. And I think it just needs to continue that way. And I think the work that you're doing is absolutely helping that. And I know, even just as a college student, I know, like, I've just shared some of my experience, just like volunteering and just being there. And I'm like, I can't tell you how much it just makes me smile, how it makes, you know, I may be having a terrible day and I'm like, oh, I get to go there. And like, you're having a good time. And I think that just any sort of visibility of the disease and of, you know, people's journeys is amazing.
Yes, so I agree.
I just want to thank you for joining us today. This is our second ever episode, so it was great to have you here. I just want to say that I appreciate all of your support that you've given me and this project. I can't wait to see where it goes from here. And I also want to thank everyone at your gym who has allowed me to come in there and volunteer and make connections with them. So I just value my time there. And I hope that I can soon find more time to be there, seeing as my schedule this semester has been insane. So I want to just say that you can feel free to check out our blog at parkinsonshopeandhelp.com and stay tuned for the next episode.